This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, good. Hey, we're so glad you guys are here with us for the best hour of your week. We're doing a series. We're finishing a series today. So normally, our series generally lasts about 4 weeks, but sometimes you get 5 Sundays in a month, and it's so good that you just keep going. So we've actually got a bonus week of Mountain and Valley People, Mountain plus Valley People, but we just say Mountain Valley People. Everybody good with that? Cool, good. Yes, no, maybe so. All right. Participation is encouraged around here. I don't know what kind of church experience you got. What kind of church you grew up in. Some churches, if you make noise, they look at you like you're crazy. And here, we celebrate that. So do it. There we go. All right, so let me give you a quick recap, and then we'll jump into it. So the idea here for the series is that mountains and valleys have a lot to teach us about life, right? Like, so again, I think we naturally are interested and drawn to the mountains because they're majestic and they're large, and our eyes are just kind of directed towards them. But valleys also have a lot to teach us. And again, you don't really appreciate the mountains unless you have the valleys. You don't appreciate the highs unless you experience the lows, right? So that's kind of the idea, the gist. And it's not just about one or the other. It's about both. It's the mountains and the valleys. So the first week, we talked about God's range, how God is present and God is working in the mountains and the valley seasons, right? He's always present and he's always working in each of those seasons. Can we get a little more light on the folks, on the people? I just want to, not too much. Don't blind them, but that's good. And then the second week, we talked about how we're supposed to address the mountains. Jesus said, speak to the mountains, right? And the idea is just like, hey, regardless of what you're going through, put your faith in God and you're going to get through whatever it is. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that when you don't allow things to shake you, when you don't allow things to kind of, the expression I guess I like is to knock you off kilter, right? Or is that the correct terms? Yeah, whatever. Just stop freaking out, man. Like, y'all met people that freak out. I remember this was about 6 years ago. It was kind of a time like this. There's elections and stuff going on, and so the elections were taking place. And a friend of mine called me, and he was freaking out. He was like, what are we going to do, Chris? What are we going to do? And I said, I'm going to put my pants on just like I did yesterday, and I'm going to go on about my business, right? And so just let's stop freaking out. God is going to work things out like God needs to work things out. God loves you, like he really does. And sometimes I have a hard time understanding how and why God loves me, but he does, and he's going to work things out on our behalf. And in the third week, we talked about, even though the mountains, nowhere in there, being scripture, nowhere in there does it say that this thing is easy. Nowhere in there does it say that God is going to take all of your problems away and make your life, you know, peaches and pumpkins and pumpkin spice latte. What in the pumpkin spice latte are we thinking, right? That's not how this works. But what he does, even though the mountains and the valleys remain, he just makes it more tolerable, more sufferable, more manageable. He talks about in the book of Isaiah how he brings the mountains down and he raises the valleys up. And it's not that he takes the literal mountains and the literal valleys, but I think sometimes he prepares us for those so that it seems that that's the case, right? And then last week we talked about the book of Ezekiel 36 and 37. 36, he's talking to the mountains again, which is glorious. And in 37, he's talking to skeletons in a valley. Good stuff. Go read it yourself. So that's where we've been. This week, we're going to go back to junior high, probably the most awkward and worst stage of most of our lives. Now, some of y'all peaked early. Some of y'all had, you know, your dirty little stash in the seventh grade. Like I had a friend that he just was one of those guys that just bloomed, right? So in the seventh grade, he's like, look at my chest hair. And he was bald at 20, so take your pick. I was a little slower. I couldn't even grow facial hair until I was in my 20s, you know? It's like, but okay, it's fine. I don't have hair on my back either, so works out. It's a trade-off. So junior high was such a tough time, but one of the things that I remember from junior high, I think it was in junior high, we learned about, maybe in science or geography or whatever the case was, you learned about the windward side of mountains and the leeward side of mountains. Y'all recall this? The windward and the leeward. It's actually referred to specifically, not that anybody cares. It's called the orographic effect. And everybody just fell asleep. Good. Good to know. So it's kind of this phenomenon, right? And specifically, like, mountain islands, I think, are most pronounced. You can see this most well documented in mountain islands. So you've got one side of the mountain that is windward, which means it's receiving the wind, which means it receives the rain and precipitation. And the other side, the precipitation can't really make it to the other side of the mountain, so it's more dry and thus more arid and less verdant, right? Less fertile and growth and all of those sorts of things. And you just kind of forget about stuff like this. Y'all ever forget? I mean, I generally forget what I did yesterday. A lot of times I forget what I have for breakfast, like very forgetful. So you forget about a lot of stuff like this until you see it again. And you're like, oh yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. So Shelly and I, when we got married, Shelly and I got married when we were 12, in case you guys don't know that, ish, maybe 13. I don't know if we went to Arkansas. It's not legal in Texas. I don't know. So one of the things that we decided early on was that for our 20th anniversary, we wanted to go to Hawaii to celebrate our anniversary. Well, it just so happened that our 20th anniversary was in 2021. Everything was still kind of whacked and shut down. And so we didn't get to go. We did get to take the trip, but we didn't take the trip until this year. So we went to Maui, first time we've ever been. Some of you guys are spoiled. You go all the time, right? That's not us. We ain't rolling like that. So we went, and so we're doing this thing, and Shelly planned. I just show up. I don't know. Every relationship seems to have the dude that shows up or the person that shows up and the other one that kind of plans everything out. I'm just here for the ride. And Shelly's like, she's a TripAdvisor and all of the blogs. And Shelly could be a vacation blogger. Like, she's that good. And so anyway, we show up and she's already got it all planned out. And we're doing the trip, the road to Hana, right? Everybody's kind of familiar. If you haven't heard of it, look it up. It's incredible. So the bloggers say, some of them say that this is the most beautiful drive in all of the world. And if it's not the, it's one of the, right? See, the top five most beautiful drives in the world. So we're like, I'm down for that. Let's get a Jeep. Let's go. So we did. And so we're driving and we go all the way to Hana. And it's practically a rainforest, right? It's beautiful, absolutely spectacular. And so I don't ever like to go back the way that I came. Anybody else? Like, listen, I'm not even kidding. Like, I will find two routes everywhere so that I don't have to see the same things again. I just like to see different things, and I feel like I'm wasting my time if we go back the way that we went. So instead of going back down the road to Hana, we went away from Hana, and we went around the other side of the mountain. And it was stunning. Like, so again, from one kind of, I guess, the comparison, from one side of the mountain or the island, it was verdant, it was like a rainforest, it was spectacular. And you get to the other side of the mountain, and it kind of looks like West Texas. Just a little bit, just minus the tumbleweed, right? And it literally, there was like cattle guards and cattle gates and all that stuff all the way down. And I was like, is this for real? Is this Hawaii? I mean, I could have seen this in Lubbock, you know? A lot cheaper too, right? And it was just like, in that moment, I was like, oh yeah, windward, leeward. And for whatever reason in my mind, it was wayward. For the longest time, I was like, windward, wayward, but it's actually windward, leeward. Glad I checked that, because the fact checkers come out strong, right? So what's cool about this is I think there are some things that we can learn from this kind of strange phenomenon, because isn't life kind of like that sometimes? Isn't life kind of like it's a windward season and everything's going well, and I kind of, you know, I feel like there's growth and good things are happening, and then you're on the same island. It's still the same life, but at this point in your life, everything is dry, it's arid, it's, you know, it's not as growing as it once was. It's a little more difficult than it once was. And I think it's just a really solid picture of what life can be like sometimes. So today, what we're going to talk about are makers and takers. Makers. I was really proud of last week's title, and you guys were not impressed. Last week, it was rocks and bones, and then this week, it's makers and takers. So let's talk about rainmakers, not basketball. Make it rain. No? Okay. It's still football season. We can't talk about basketball. So rainmakers, these would be what we would call the windward season. So the windward season, let's address it for what it is, kind of call it what it is. So we're clear. We've got a baseline understanding of what it is that we're talking about. So windward and leeward, they're actually, originally they're nautical terms. Again, things that nobody cares about. But the idea is with the windward is that you are what is referred to as upwind. That means the wind is at your back. The wind, if you're sailing, which all of us do pretty regularly, right? The wind is in your sails, and I know that that's not something that we naturally relate to because we're not nautical people. I don't feel like most, if you have a sailboat and you haven't told me, it's a problem. But the wind is at our sails. The wind is at our back. That means that you don't have to work nearly as hard to accomplish more than you would otherwise, right? And what I like to think of this is just kind of one of those seasons where God is doing things for you that you don't really deserve. It's more than you could actually produce on your own. And what we have to do in these seasons is kind of know what to do and what not to do when we're experiencing a windward season. Have you ever had a windward season? It generally comes in just like, and it's not just one thing, it's a lot of things. It can be relational, it can be spiritual, it can be financial, it can be emotional, like you know, mental, all of the aspects of our life. We can have a windward season where God is just doing really incredible things for us. We use in Christianity terms like God is blessing us, right? And by definition, a blessing is something that you don't really deserve. It's kind of on top of what he's already given you. It's a blessing on top of the fact that he's already given you life and he's given you purpose and he's given you meaning and he's given you love. And on top of that, he's going to bless you. If you really been in church, not just like church, but like church, you've been in church, then you know about the favor of God. Favor. Shelly, you know about that? What do you know about that favor? So this is what we kind of refer to it as sometimes. A windward season is a season that I would refer to as a season where you just, the favor of God is on your life. And if you've never experienced it, man, you're missing out. If you've experienced it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So we're going to talk about how to kind of go through each of these. So this is what the favor of God, I stole this definition, but it's really good. So I'm going to pass it off as my own. Do you guys remember how to do that? When you steal something from somebody, you attribute it to them the first time. The second time you say, a wise person once said, and then the third time you say, like I always say. The favor of God can be described as this. It's divine kindness or an act of true compassion on the part of God himself toward needy and undeserving human recipients. Isn't that good? It's just a recognition. It's an awareness that, man, we don't deserve this. I can't accomplish this on my own. I need God to do for me what I cannot do for myself. And God, in his kindness and compassion towards me, does for me what I cannot do for myself. Psalm 90, verse 17, it says this, may the favor, and some versions actually use the word in place of favor, beauty. And I thought that was really cool. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So that's what a windward season is. It's a season where God's favor is on your life. Now we're going to kind of round this out and make more sense, but I think it was helpful kind of, again, just to start with what it is. So let's talk about what not to do in the windward season. Y'all like being told what not to do? Everybody does, right? Good. Cool. So when it comes to these windward seasons, let's talk about what not to do. And I think when it comes to the seasons where the favor of God is on your life, the first thing you should not do, and the only thing that we're going to talk about today, is just don't make it all about you. Right? Don't, because y'all know we are so guilty. Like, I don't, maybe you're not. Maybe I am. Like, when good things are happening in my life, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I work for that. I earned that. I deserve that. And the reality is, like, if you are keeping score here, you get a lot better than what you deserve. I get a lot better than what I deserve. So it's just a really good reminder to remain open-handed. When the favor of God is being poured out on your life, when God is doing these really good things for you, when God is blessing you, remain open-handed. Don't be closed-handed. Don't be, I work for this, I earn this, this is mine's. Bad grammar, but you get the point, right? And it's just a solid reminder, remain open-handed. Don't be closed-handed. Jesus told this story. This is such a good story because I think it pretty well sums up the United States of America. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. It says this, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, right? Good things, favor, blessing. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So this guy's crops had done so well that he filled up all of the barns that he currently had, and he had no place to put the abundance that he had. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater barns. Bigger barns, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This guy's got a plan, right? Like he's worked hard. Like he's put a lot of effort and investment into his success, and he's achieved, he's accomplished, he's accumulated. And so now he thinks to himself, I'm going to store up all of this stuff for myself. This is all for me. This is about what I can do because I deserve this, right? And this was God's response to him. But God said to him, fool. I love that God calls people fool because I do that sometimes. And the super religious people were like, what Jesus says, don't call somebody a fool. You read the whole thing. Like, get some context. Leave me alone. So it says this, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I've heard somebody make the kind of comparison with this argument about, you know, again, not over accumulating. Like, God wants us to be well taken care of. You go back to the book of Matthew, and Jesus said, hey, look at the flowers of the field and the birds of the air. I take care of them. I'm going to take care of you. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all of these things will be added to you. Like, so God wants us to be taken care of. There is a difference between being taken care of and having an unnecessary abundance, which is all about you, right? And not being willing to share those things with those that are around you. And so somebody made the comparison to this particular passage and storage buildings in the United States. I'm not trying to attack anybody, but I'm just like, how is it that our houses aren't even big enough to contain the things that we have? So we're like, and he says to himself, I'll go get a storage building and accumulate more. Okay, it's fine. I want storage buildings at some point in my life, not to have one, but to own them. So for all the people who are accumulating, I'm like, fine, accumulate, knock yourself out. So that's what not to do in the windward season. It's don't be closed-handed. Don't just think about yourself and accumulate for yourself. Also remember the people around you, that God blesses you so that he can be, God bless, you are a bless, you, let me get this right. You are blessed to be a blessing, right? So let's talk about what to do in the windward season. When we're in a windward season, what I think we do, go back to the Psalm 90, and it talks about establish the work of our hands. And then it says it again, establish the work of our hands. When you establish, you are laying a foundation, because newsflash, it's not always going to be a windward season. So when you have a foundation on which you can now stand, what to me a windward season is, hey, things are going well, so I am building a foundation so that when I go through a leeward season, I'm capable to sustain myself in that season, and not just myself, but also those that are around me. Like, we have a perfect context for this growing up in East Texas. How many of you guys grew up in East Texas? Everybody else got here as fast as you could? Respectful. Just kidding. Maybe. How many of you were forced? Don't raise your hand for that one. It's weird. So we grew up in, if you grew up in East Texas, you're very, very well aware of just the oil industry in general, right? It's one of the backbones of our economy. But we also know that it is very, very cyclical. And you see a lot of times guys who are very young, guys and girls, very young, start out making ridiculous money for somebody who's 19, 20 years old. And so they think the world is at their hands. And so what's the first thing every 20-year-old wants? A truck that is entirely too expensive and generally compensates for other deficiencies in their life, right? Like stature and I don't know, sorts of things. So you go buy, you know, a $100,000 truck on 40-inch tires with, you know, 30-inch wheels, and, you know, it's got to glow, because if it don't glow, it don't go, right? So you spend all of this stuff, and again, it's not just that, but it's all of the things, and boats and four-wheelers and ATVs, and you know that side-by-sides cost more than both of our vehicles put together. Like, we've seen them. It's ridiculous, right? So that's whatever, do you, I guess. But then all of a sudden, things change. The price of oil goes down. Everybody's without a job. All the things that you thought were so cool, so does the bank. Bye-bye, right? And so we understand, like, windward and leeward seasons, because we've seen it firsthand so often. So the idea here is to establish, to lay a foundation, so that when the leeward season comes, you have something prepared for the leeward season. Does that make sense? Is that helpful? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. This is one of my favorite passages as it relates to money and resources, but it's not limited to money and resources. Anything that God does for you is an opportunity for you to share that with other people. It says this, command those who are rich in this present world, and this is where we immediately dismiss that. Well, I ain't rich. If you look at the numbers, statistically, if you make over $40,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of wage earners in the world. Right? We only tend to compare ourselves to what is close to us, but we forget globally, like if you make over $40,000, you are one of the richest people in the world, top 1%. Everybody say 1%. You 1%ers, y'all rich. So command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. Again, don't make this all about you. Don't think, oh, I earn this, I work for this, I deserve this. Don't make it all about you. Don't put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. I don't know why I emphasized it like I did. So uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation. There's that word again, foundation, right? as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may be able to take hold of the life that is truly life. And I love the way that it finishes it. Like, you want to know what life really is? And it's so cliche, but y'all remember the Winston Churchill quote, you make a living by what you get, you make a life by what you give, right? And I think it's just so helpful to remember, just don't be closed-handed. When if these windward seasons come, I hope they come in your life. I hope you have seasons in your life. Well, God is just blessing you so far beyond what you deserve. And for myself as well, for all of us, right? But when that happens, if and when that happens, just remember to be open-handed, to be generous, and don't make it all about yourself. These are the seasons where it's kind of the rain maker. The rain is making things grow and be verdant and vibrant. Let's talk about the rain takers. Y'all ever had some of those seasons where it just feels dry? And this, so when it comes to a leeward season, there are seasons in our lives where, man, it's just like, I can be doing the same things that I was doing, you know, previously when it was working, and it doesn't seem to be working now. It's just harder now. It's I don't feel the same way about it as I once did. People aren't helping me like they used to, right? Anybody else ever have those kinds of seasons, those dry seasons? You feel like you just can't catch a break. Have y'all noticed things? And maybe it's just the way that we perceive things or way that we see things, but it seems like when one bad thing happens, sure enough, another bad thing gonna happen, and then another bad thing, because it comes in threes, right? I'm like, well, if you're looking for it, you're gonna find it also, but that let that be what that is, right? But there are seasons. There just are seasons where it's dry. It's the backside of the mountain that's not getting the precipitation. It's a leeward season, and I think we've all experienced it to some degree. Again, it can be spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, financial, relational, on it. Let's talk about relationships for just a minute, because I think relationships are like that, right? There are times where it's easy and everything's clicking and you're getting along. And then there are times where it's just like, man, you butt heads about things that you normally don't butt heads about. I mean, other people do. Shelly and I would never, ever, ever do this, right? Because I don't butt heads. She got a strong head, so I'm not stupid. Maybe a little bit. But it's just sometimes it's harder than it is at other times. And the things that used to not bother you, maybe in this season, they bother you. And it's probably a you problem. They shouldn't, but you're allowing it to. And you know what I'm saying? You just feel a certain type of way about the season that you're in. It's a dry season. So let's talk about what not to do in these leeward seasons and what to do in these leeward seasons. So what not to do in the leeward season, don't get wayward in the leeward season. God, I thought that was going to be so much better than it was. I was waiting for some of you, like, 70s rockers to stand up. I guess we don't have very many 70s rockers, right? So don't get wayward in the leeward season. Here's the thing. Remember, just because it's a dry season, just because it's a harder season, that does not mean you're lost. That does not mean you're aimless. It just means it's hard, right? It's just a season where things are a little more difficult maybe than they used to be. It doesn't mean that you don't know what you're doing. It doesn't mean that God is not still in control and God doesn't still love you and God doesn't still have a plan for your life. That is not what that means. So don't get wayward in a leeward season. Don't divert from the path that God has called you to just because things are harder. And haven't we seen this in Christianity, right? Like, I didn't start going to church, like, for real. Everybody been to church. If you grew up around here, right? So, you know, like, I had experiences with church, but I didn't go to church. I didn't start going to church until I was a senior in high school. And what was really cool is that when I started going, like, some of my friends started going, and like, a handful of them went. And then eventually, it's like, wow, this is harder than I thought it was. And most of them did not continue to go to church. And it's unfortunate that when things get hard, we tend to go wayward. Let me give you some examples of ways that we can get wayward. Our tongue gets wayward. This is just for me. This is me being entirely too vulnerable. This is my black couch, and you guys are my counselors. Do not bill me for this, right? I've noticed for myself that when I have a harder time not saying things that I want to say but I probably shouldn't say, is generally it's a heart issue. It's not a mouth issue. So there's a direct connection between my attitude, where my heart is, where my relationship with Jesus is, and the things that I'm allowing to come out of my mouth. If I'm in a dry season in my heart, then I get wayward with my tongue. Anybody else ever do silly things? And here's what's so shocking. Like, sometimes I'll say something and I'm like, and y'all know words are like toothpaste. you ain't putting it back in, right? You ever try to put toothpaste back in the tube? Like shampoo, you create it like an air pocket, right? It's a vacuum. Toothpaste don't do that, man. Like once it's out, it's out. So our tongue can get wayward. Our attitudes can get wayward. Y'all know when people are struggling, like, and again, go back to is this sociology where you talk about don't make decisions when you're halt, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, right? There's some dryness. There's a season in your heart or your soul that things just are off, so you don't make decisions based on that. And what tends to happen is our attitude can get just I can't say what I want to say because I'm trying to control my tongue. You understand what I'm saying? We can get pithy, P-I-T-H-Y, pithy with our attitude while we're going through some harder things. When that happens, generally, it's a waywardness, right? We're not understanding something properly. We're forgetting who God is. We're forgetting that God allows things to happen sometimes, not because he dislikes us, but because he loves us intentionally and just intensely, and he wants us to grow. And sometimes these seasons cause us to grow, and we need these seasons, but we don't like the seasons, so we can get wayward with our tongue, with our attitude. And sometimes, I think the kind of the ultimate consequence here is when all of that starts to spiral out of control, then our actions get wayward. We just start living entirely counter to what it is that we know is right. To him that knows to do right and he does it not, to him it is sin. We choose to sin and we go wayward when things aren't going like we want to. Now, here's the thing about that. Just think about this for a second. When things aren't going like you want them to, let's just throw a two-year-old temper tantrum real quick, right? So things aren't going like you want them to. And so because things aren't going like you want them to, now you're mad at God and you're going to do what you want to do because you want to do what you want to do. Like how infantile is that, right? I mean, toddler at best. So ultimately, is God God or are you God in that particular scenario? Just something to think about. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 20, it says this. He that has a wayward heart finds no good. Finds no good. You can't find it because you ain't really looking for it because your heart ain't right. And he that has a perverse tongue falls into mischief. And I think, again, there's a cool connection there between your heart and your mouth. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 22, if you have gone wayward, this is what you do. Come back to me, you wayward people. I want to cure your waywardness. Say, here we are. We come to you because you are the Lord our God. Like let's be honest, right? You're going to go wayward some at some point. We shouldn't. If it happens, come back. That's what we have to do. We have to come back. I think the best way to understand this is just remain oriented toward Jesus. Don't get wayward. Remain oriented towards Jesus. Like it says in the book of Isaiah about Jesus, that he set his face like flint, like a rock, right? He was resolute. He was steadfast. He wasn't going to change his mind, and he wasn't going to change his direction just because his circumstances were different. And we would be wise to do the same. I thought that was better preaching than your amening, but that's cool too. So what to do in the leeward season? That's what not to do. Everybody likes to hear what not to do, but let's talk about what to do in the season. Stay the course. In the leeward season, just stay the course. Don't quit just because it gets hard. Don't give in. Again, maybe it's harder than it used to be. Maybe it's more challenging. Maybe you don't feel the same way about it. And unless God has directly, specifically told you not to do the thing that you're doing, continue doing the thing that God told you to do previously. Yeah, no, this is what people do about with church kind of specifically. Sometimes nobody here, because all you guys are cool and y'all don't do dumb stuff, right? Everybody good with that? Wow, emphatic. Yeah. So other people in other churches, what happens is like, I feel like God doesn't want me to go to that church anymore. I'm like, that's weird. So then they'll stop going to church altogether because God didn't want them to go to that church that they were going to. And generally it's because, I wasn't getting fed. I always go Southern Belle. Well, I do declare, right? So don't stop doing the last thing that God told you to do unless God told you to do something different. Stay the course. Stay steady. Like, again, resolute, steadfast, like flint. Don't change your mind just because things are harder now. And let's talk about relationships for just a minute, because this is where we're at societally with relationships. Like, I am in love with him, with her, with, that person. And everything about them, I'm like, really, write it all down. I want to see the list. all the things that you love about this person. Well, I just love them, and I love the way they make me feel, because, baby, they ain't going to make you feel how they make you feel all the time. I mean, I'm different. I'm just, Shelly, and yeah, listen, y'all don't understand. I've got it so good. Shelly is so easy to entertain. Like, she thinks I'm funny most of the time. So it's just, it's a bonus. It's a plus. It would be hard to, if she wasn't, and it would be a lot more difficult to entertain. Thank you for being easier. Cool. So the relationship thing, like, so you don't necessarily feel about them how you used to feel about them. Are you going to quit? Right? Because y'all know what commitment is, right? I was talking to a friend of mine about this the other day, and he's a single guy in his 30s, and he is looking and handsome and driven, just in case you're interested. I can get you his number. But he's also not in a hurry, right? He ain't trying to make any dumb, irrational decisions either. And we were just talking about just so many people having these failed relationships and things happening. And I think what the problem is we understand relationships in terms of contracts. We do not understand relationships in terms of covenant. So you go back to, like, God's design for us and marriage is a covenant, thick or thin, life or death, heaven or hell, richer or poorer, sickness and in health. Like, that's covenant, right? We understand contracts. Well, where if you do this, then I have an out. I've got a clause. There's a clause in there. It's an exit clause. And if you don't hold up to your end of the bargain, then it gets me off the hook. And we treat relationships very contractually. I don't know why I told you guys that, but just don't quit. Just because it don't feel the same way that it used to feel, just because it's a little harder than it used to be, doesn't mean it gives you a right. Maybe it's just a dry season. And here's what we know about the wind. Or we don't know about the wind, but we know about the wind. We don't really know. There's a song, it's like, from where it comes or where it goes, nobody knows, right? The wind changes direction, and generally, we don't even know that it's going to change direction. I can tell you when it's going to change direction, when I start a fire. That's always when it changes direction. And it picks up every time I start a fire, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to call the fire department again. We're more prepared. I've got water hoses on standby, right? So here's the crazy thing. Like, why don't you just stay the course, and you just never know when the wind is going to change direction, where the wind is at your head, the wind is in front of you, you're downwind, so you're going against the wind. You just never know when the wind's going to change direction and the wind is going to be at your back. It's not our job to control the weather. It's our job to control ourselves, our attitude, our actions, and our effort. That's what we can control. Why don't you can control what you can control and let God control what God controls? You dig? You dig? Hear me out. I got a story for you. This is what I think we should do in the leeward seasons. 2 Kings chapter 3. Let me give you some context. So the story goes, so the king of Israel prior to this was a man named Ahab. I took an Old Testament survey class in college, and the professor called him Ahab the Arab. I don't know if that was insensitive or not, but it stuck, right? So Ahab was a terrible king. And in fact, you read it, it says that he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he caused other people to do the same. And so he married a chick named Jezebel. Not bad when your name's, I mean, not good when your name is associated with all sorts of negative things, right? And she's the reason. But so at any rate, Ahab's son was now the king of Israel. There was a guy named Jehoshaphat, fire name, just balling, right? And he was the king of Judah. And there was a third king, and they all got together, and they were going to go attack the Moabites, the king of Moab, because the king of Moab stopped paying tribute to the king, Ahab's son. I forget his name. Everybody clear? Three kings going up to fight against one king. So they're on their way, and on their way, like during this trek, they encountered a dry season, and they were very concerned because it was so dry that they didn't think they were going to be able to feed their armies. They didn't think they were going to be able to feed their horses and all of the cattle and stuff that they had brought with them to sustain the soldiers and stuff along the way, right? It is a dry season. It is a dire season. It is a very difficult season. And so one of the kings has a really good idea. He's like, all right, we're in a desperate season. Let's get God involved. Because y'all know we do that, right? It's like we forget about God sometimes until things get very difficult. And then we're like, oh God. So they called a prophet. They found a prophet. Just so happened to be hanging out nearby named Elisha. So they bring Elisha in, and they're like, hey, Elisha, talk to God on our behalf and tell us what we're supposed to do. And this was the answer in 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Like, how would you do that? You dig, right? Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches, for thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is so good. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. This ain't no thing for him. If you just do what you're supposed to do, God will take care of the rest. If you just keep digging those ditches, if you just keep drudging along and pressing on and fighting and showing up, if you do the things that you're supposed to do, God will do the things that you can't do. And it ain't no thing for him. It's an easy thing for him. You dig? Isn't this the coolest little shovel? I'm not even sure where it came from. It's been in our storage closet for years, and I'm keeping it. I'm building bigger barns so I can house things like that. So what do? We just keep showing up. Y'all know that the most successful people that I've met aren't generally the brightest people. They're bright. They're intelligent. They're not necessarily the most talented people or the most charismatic people. They're just the people that keep showing up day after day. They don't quit when things get hard. Because y'all have seen, it seems like this has been, dear Lord, this has been kind of exacerbated, I guess, in the last few years, kind of with the rise of entrepreneurialism. Everybody's an entrepreneur. I'm like, oh yeah, what do? Internet marketing? Right. Really? Show me something that you've created with your hands. Establish the work. Okay, don't get me started. So everybody is an entrepreneur. We're just more keenly aware of entrepreneurialism, right? And so what we find, I think, in the last few years, everybody's like, man, this is really hard. Right? So they quit doing because it's hard. I think some of the most successful people are just the people who don't quit. Like they just, it's not that they're better than other people. They just outlast other people. It's not that they're better than other people. They just don't throw up their hands and walk away when there's one bad season or there's one bad complaint from a customer or there's one negative comment on social media about you and what you do. They just don't quit. They keep coming. They keep showing up to work or to the thing or to the relationship or whatever it is, they just don't quit. Y'all know one of the kind of super spiritual phrases that we use in Christianity is breakthrough. Like we sing songs about it. We've got this God about, the song about God of the breakthrough, right? This God that in a moment can change things, and he can. But I think breakthrough comes so often to those who continue to show up. Breakthrough comes to those who don't quit and don't stop. Listen, God ain't going to give you a breakthrough if you're walking in the other direction. God ain't going to give you a breakthrough if you're just standing still. Like God, and I'm just firmly convinced of this. My theology could be all wrong, and you could tell me about it later because I don't want to hear it right now. But I am just convinced that as we do our part, that's when the God of breakthrough steps in and does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. So keep digging ditches. Keep digging ditches. Keep showing up. Like when it comes to church, like, yeah, you know what? You ain't gonna feel the same way about it all the time. Keep coming. Keep showing up. When it comes to your relationship with God, keep coming. Keep showing up. When it comes to your marriage, keep coming. Keep showing up. You don't feel the same way. I don't care. Keep coming. Keep showing up. Love is not a choice. I mean, love is a choice. Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. It is a commitment. It is a contract. It is a covenant. So we keep showing up. And that is when the breakthrough happens in our life. So welcome to my junior high, seventh grade, science, geology, geography. Did we cover all of our bases there? I think maybe it was world geography. That just seems like a fitting place to say that's where we learned this, right? Keep showing up. In the windward seasons, man, don't be closed-handed. Be open-handed. Like everything that God does for you is an opportunity for you to be a blessing for other people. And God wants to bless you, absolutely. But it's not all just for you and about you. For of him and through him and to him are all things. And for all the things that he does for us, he wants to do through us for other people, right? Remain open-handed. And don't get wayward in the leeward season. Keep digging ditches. Amen? Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much, God, for the insight from the things around us. God, we believe that you are the creator of the entire world. God, I believe that there are signatures and indicators of your character, your nature, your qualities, and everything that's around us. And so, God, we see a situation like this where we've got the windward and the leeward sides of mountains and the side that's full of blessing, the side that's full of bounty and rain, and it's verdant and it's growing. God, and we see the dry seasons also. And we understand, God, that our life has seasons. God, help us to respond appropriately to each of them. God, to continue to be generous when you're blessing us, that you bless us so that we can in turn be a blessing to other people. God, to remain open-handed with the things that you give us. God, we can't really receive if our hands are closed. God, and we can't give either if our hands are closed. Help us to remain open-handed. And in the seasons, God, where things are hard, things are difficult, they're challenging, God, it's a dry season. God, help us to not go wayward, God, but to stay resolute, to stay committed. Because, God, that's when the breakthrough comes. Help us to keep digging ditches and see that you will do what you promised you would do, that you will make a way when there is no way, God, that you will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Jesus, we love you. We're so thankful for you. And it's in your incredible name we pray, and everybody said, amen.